One thing with positive reinforcement is that you remind them behaviors that you want to see more of. Our kids, I think it's something like for every negative thing we say to them, they need to be given like 10 positive things. And so, really focusing on the behavior you want to see and acknowledging that and talking about it is really important for a child to get your attention through doing the good thing. So you want to make an impact. You're thinking about starting a business, sharing your voice. How do women do it that handle motherhood, family, and still chase after those dreams? We'll listen each week as we dive into the stories of women who know. This is Call Me CEO. Hey everyone, it is Camille here from Call Me CEO, and I have an announcement. I am changing things up. Did you know that this is actually the new year of the equinox? It's the lunar calendar new year. And I don't know what it is about spring, but I'm feeling like I need to mix things up. I am feeling a refresh of where I have been and the way I have been doing things, and really feeling like I want to mix it up a little bit here on the podcast. And I'm really excited about it. So, as you know, I have primarily been doing interview type blog or podcast interviews. And with that, while I love sharing everyone else's stories, I feel like I've been really keeping a distance between my personal life and the podcast. And I have found that the podcasts that I really love the most are podcasts that include solo shows from the host. Because how are you supposed to get to know me if I don't share with you the nitty gritty and what is in my heart and on my mind? And I am really being freed by that idea that it would be a really fun way to hear more stories from you as the audience if I am sharing more personal stories, and then also to share some of yours. And the reason why this topic came to me and I was so inspired by this is I actually met Josie, who is the host of the Weekly Trash podcast. I must have been under a rock because I have never heard this podcast before. And I have been binging it since I met her and blown away by the concept of her podcast about airing out dirty laundry, letting things go, but also the personal nature of the podcast and how it really allows herself to open up personally on the podcast every week, as well as interviewing other people to do the same. And I think that it's asking a lot of my guests to share the nitty gritty when I want to be creating that here between us. So what I'm going to be doing, and what I really wanted to do from the very beginning, was to explore what motherhood is inside the passion space of building a business, which we have done and we've talked about a lot, but also to share the motherhood aspect and how other women are doing that as well. We will talk about it here and there, but I haven't had a really clear approach to how I ask business owners how they handle the business and how they handle life and how they handle motherhood. So I've been brainstorming all week, and what I came up with, I had three different ideas that I would have you as listeners and the guests and myself share motherhood moments. Originally, I was thinking like motherhood mayhem or motherhood madness, but I really want to leave space for the beautiful space of motherhood too. The things that really fill you up in your mother heart, that it's not all craziness. And a lot of times it is, but there are so many beautiful moments that as mothers, I think we can share. So I want it to be a space for asking questions, for sharing stories, for maybe airing dirty laundry, whatever it is. And I will kick that off with my personal episode for that week. So in today's episode, I'll talk to you about what's been on my heart with motherhood. And then I'm also going to be continuing the practice of doing what am I watching, reading, listening to. I'll share that personally and I'll ask our guests. And then I'm also going to give overall messages of what it is that you are wanting to share. So I'm really excited about this. I think this is going to be an awesome way for us to connect. And I'm almost to 200 episodes on this podcast, which is blowing my mind. And I really want to connect and give a service to all the mothers out there who are wondering, how so many women are being successful, but also all of the things they're struggling with too. And what inspired me this week, I met up with three women for a lunch. They were three women I had never sat down and had lunch with before. And each of us talked about the struggles that we had in balancing home and family, in knowing whether or not it was the time to hire help, whether that be professionally or a nanny or someone in the home, as well as having that camaraderie of knowing that so much is possible, even in seasons of taking rest and pushing forward. One thing that's been really interesting for me these last few months is that I've been really feeling domestic. And I think it's interesting that we as women go through these phases of pushing and pulling back. And I was reminded about how much women mimic nature, that we are in the early budding of spring where tulips are coming through, the grass is starting to turn green. And just like Mother Earth, women go through seasons of wanting to push and to pull back. And I believe that that really is how it's meant to be. I believe that that's how God designed us as women, is to go through seasons of growth and also seasons of restoration. So if you're listening to this now and wondering, where am I in my season? Evaluate what that means to you. And that could even be a season of resting for a week, a month, a year, or maybe it's your season for pushing and you're ready to drive and to grow and to nourish. Planting the seeds for moving forward in whatever your next season or stage is. When I started my blog back in 2011, I had two small children at home, one that was 9 months old and the other that was three and barely three. And it was crazy. It was busy, but I felt such a strong need to have growth and to push outside of the boundaries that I had been laying down for myself in those first few years of motherhood. And now that my youngest is seven and in school full time, I feel like it's time for me to grow in different ways that I wasn't able to before. But through the years of up and down of the last almost 16 years of being a mother, I have had so many times when I've had to pull back and to push forward. So, if you checked out last week's episode, I actually was sharing how to communicate effectively with your kids. I received a lot of really positive feedback about that episode and many messages that came in that you have been looking for ways to speak with your teenager or how to effectively talk to children who can't communicate very well. Ages 3 to 5, I think, are one of the absolute hardest. And so, if that is something that you can relate to, please listen to that episode. But in addition to that, I had an experience this week, and this is my motherhood moment, that I went to my childhood junior high school. My niece was actually performing in a year-end cheer review. And as I walked through these halls, so many memories came back of insecurity, self-doubt, feeling like the awkward, gangly, tall, zit-faced teenager, not knowing where I belonged, really having a lot of crushes on boys. You guys, I had so many. In fact, I was walking down the hall with my daughter and I stopped at one spot. And there was this place in the hall where these boys would walk by who were twins that were ninth graders when I was a seventh grader. And every day I would wait to see Aaron Nadald walk down the hall, or Adam. I can't remember which one, but it was like the highlight of my day. And as we walked down the hallway, I was like, oh, Jane, this was the spot. He had no clue who I was, I am sure. I was in seventh grade, he was in ninth grade. But it's funny how being in that space can take you back and recall so many memories. Anyway, I was going back to that hallway. We went into the gymnasium, and it brought back memories of when I tried out to be a cheerleader. I tried out in eighth grade. I tried out in ninth grade, and I tried out my sophomore year to be a cheerleader. And I lost every single time. And I had grown up as a dancer. I was actually a ballerina from ages 5 through 13, 14 was when I kind of switched into thinking I wanted to do drill team or cheerleading or something else. And I could not do toe touches to save my life. Like it was really laughable. And I think that they called me back a lot of times thinking, okay, this girl can dance, but she can't do a toe touch. And I really couldn't. Like, I really was not great at it. But what was really sad for me in that moment was my 10th grade year when I asked my very best friend to try out for cheerleader with me. And I just begged her, come on, it'll be so much fun. If we don't make it, who cares? Like, let's just do it for a good time. Well, little did I know that she would be the one making the team and I would not. And it tore me apart. I thought our friendship was over. I am sure you can imagine at this time in your life, these kind of moments stick with you. They are big, they are monumental, they're very identifying in the moment of what you're going through. And I just felt so defeated. And I remember just crying and crying in my room and saying to my mom, I don't think she'll ever be friends with me again, or that it will change our relationship. I can't remember exactly what I said, but I still have the memory of where I was, how I felt. And I, as I was going through the junior high, I kept going back to that moment and thinking, that moment of being a young 12, 13, 14-year-old, those moments are so defining. But it was also that because I did not make that cheerleading team, that I was able to expand my opportunities and to keep trying out for more. And I was listening to an interview the other day, and I wish I could remember who had said it, but the person said, if you're not failing, you're not learning. And as I thought about that, I realized through all of my teen years and into my adult years, any kind of failure could be scary, but really it's in those moments that we find that we learn. And we also learn maybe that ballerinas don't make the best cheerleaders in my case, and that there was something else that I could do that was more in my talent wheelhouse, which for me it was theater and choir and drill team later on and student government. I lived at the school. I really did love it. But I think in that moment, now looking back at it as a mother, I'm so grateful that I had the experience of knowing what that hurt and that failure feels like, because I've seen my children go through it. I am anticipating more of that fear of trying and that failure, and then also the success. And that the success is all the brighter when you've been through the failures. And how can I comfort my child when they are in that place of feeling that defeat? So, as your children are going into this tryout season, I've already had a few moms reach out to me because I shared this a little bit on social media that it's okay for them to be sad. It's okay for them to feel those emotions and to know that it is big. It feels so big, but that there is something for them. And without doors closing, you can't even look around to see what else is available. So that's what's in my motherhood moment mind at the moment. The next section I want to talk about is what I'm listening to, what I'm watching, and what I'm reading. Okay, so my number one top thing to listen to right now, I am a huge fan of Chalene Johnson. I don't know if you are familiar with her, but she has a podcast and a business, and she used to be a Beachbody coach and made videos for them years ago. Right now, she's actually doing a deep dive on Dave and Rachel Hollis and the rise and fall of their story, which is a story that I have felt very. It's hard to even explain, but because they are in the space of being self-help and also an influence, I actually met Rachel Hollis at one of my blog events. And Heidi Powell, who later on dated Dave Hollis, I interviewed her. I just feel very connected to them and their story. And what I love about Chalene's storytelling of the rise and fall of Dave Hollis is that she is so reflective, so respectful, and so introspective of her own experience being in the world of creating content online and the hustle culture, and how that can be very toxic. And she's on episode 7. This is actually available on her Patreon, which you have to pay $5 a month for. But you guys, she is doing such an excellent job. It is so respectful. And it's also written or told in the way of being a cautionary tale of, especially between a husband and a wife, where ambitions can sometimes become a wedge between a couple. And that is something that I want to respectfully stay very wary of, and also aware of how they got there. Not that I'm even close to being on the level of fame or success that the two of them are on, but I think that their story is very interesting to look at. So Shalene has done an excellent job. That's on Patreon. That's what I've been listening to. Number two, what have I been watching? I just watched the train wreck documentary of the 1999 Netflix special. They did a Woodstock 1999, and it's a three-part episode telling the story of Woodstock and how the kids were way underfed and thirsty and way char overcharged, and they just went crazy. They were drinking and on so many drugs. It's just literally a train wreck. So very interesting. I didn't know much about that story, but I thought that was kind of a fun one to watch as I folded laundry or did the dishes or whatever. And then what am I reading? I've actually been listening to Think Like a Monk. That's one of my favorites that I listen to, as well as Outlander. I'm on book two of Outlander, but they are so long. Sometimes I get lost and I don't know where I am, but those are the things I've been listening to. All right. So for the last section of today, I want to read through motherhood moments that were submitted. Now, if you want to submit a motherhood moment, please do so. I'm going to put the link in the show notes below so that you can send one in as well. But I want to make sure that I respond to the ones that have been sent in for this week, which is really fun. Okay, the first one I got says, I hired a nanny after years of trying to balance it all. Today, I came home to a clean house and three children running into my arms. They didn't care that I was gone. They had had a great day, but they were thrilled when I came home. I felt like I could be present in that moment for the first time. Well, that's incredible. I think that this sharing stories like this of hiring a nanny and then having that relief of having that sense of balance of clocking in and clocking out in your mind and in your space is so powerful. And this is an interesting conversation I actually had with my ladies that I went to this last week. We talked about there are ways that you can do both, and hiring a nanny in the Eastern states is like everyone has a nanny, where in the Western states, I'm in Utah, a lot of people here don't. And I think that there can be a lot of mom guilt that comes around the idea of hiring a nanny. And why? Why? Because caregiving is not motherhood. It is can be a part of the role that you play, but motherhood is a relationship. And I love my friend Hannah, who shares that so beautifully on her Instagram page, Freckled Han. Shout out to you. And I think that that's really beautiful. Okay, so this next question came in and said, how to handle situations where you are trying so hard to be calm but feel walked all over by your kids, like they own the place. How to be stern so they know you're serious but not angry. Whew, I feel like this could be a whole podcast episode. So if that's something that you guys want, please let me know. But I think the number one way that I've been able to handle this, especially in moments of extreme emotions, is to give myself space to think through the moment. I have older children. My youngest is now 7. So I don't have the same overwhelm that I did when my kids were grabbing on me all day. I mean, summer is coming up soon, so that changes, but so does the ages of your kids. But I think one thing that really helps with that is to set clear boundaries, to communicate what the rules and boundaries are. So in our house, if someone is having a tantrum, or if they hit or yelled or name called or whatever the rule is, that they are asked to go spend time alone in their room. And that when they're ready to apologize, that they can come back. And I always say to my children, I really want to see you. And when you're ready to come down and to apologize, we can talk this through and move forward. There are even sometimes that if I'm feeling overwhelmed in the moment, that I'll tell my kids, mommy needs a moment. I'm feeling really overwhelmed and I'll come back to you in 5 minutes or whatever it might be. But explaining that the behaviors are not acceptable and being consistent with the outcome, whether that's a timeout or taking away a privilege or whatever that might be, must be consistent because if it's not consistent, then the kids will tend to not take you seriously. And they know when you say, oh, I'm going to take away your switch or whatever, and you never do. Or I'm going to ground you. You can't play with your friends. And then you don't follow through with that. I think our kids know when sometimes punishments can be more of a punishment to us as the parents, especially if there are things that routines that we have that we need to get done or whatever else it is. And one thing to do is definitely discuss this with your spouse because I remember a few times, this hasn't happened for years, but there have been a few times where my husband has doled out punishments, and I'm looking at him like, don't say that. Don't do that. That's like a punishment to me. You know? So I think it's really good to have clear expectations and what the resulting offenses will be. Last week, if you listen to my episode, I talk about weekly meetings with our kids. This is an amazing way to be in tune with your child and talk with them one-on-one about what they're doing well, things that they can work on, and also positive reinforcement for when they do. So when my kids were little, we would talk about sharing and using a kind voice instead of saying not screaming. This week we're going to work on using a kind voice and coming up with a reward system that way. Or as they get older, maybe it's phone usage or technology usage or something like that, where we talk about the reasons why we're going for a goal that we are, and we first ask them how they're doing, and then we follow up with reinforcement and positive reinforcement too. One thing with positive reinforcement is that you remind them behaviors that you want to see more of. Our kids, I think it's something like for every negative thing we say to them, they need to be given like 10 positive things. And so, really focusing on the behavior you want to see and acknowledging that and talking about it is really important for a child to get your attention through doing the good thing. And I think that that is practice. You might even want to put in your phone a reminder that pops up and to pay attention, look up and see what Johnny's doing right or what Sarah did that was exemplary, even if it was sharing really well or being kind to a friend or thoughtfully putting their dish away, whatever that might be. Staying calm is a big part of this. There are breathing exercises that you can do to remember, but honestly, if it's just a matter of breathing in and out 3 times slow, that can be really special too. Another thing we talked about last week is to use a calm voice and to get on level with them where they can see that you are looking them in the eye and that you're explaining to them what the expectations are without trying to instill fear. And a lot of times when we're standing up, we're standing above them, it's obviously a stance of power. So if you come down where you're sitting right next to them, side by side, or sitting in front of them, which oftentimes the delivery of this could be something that you do after you have a moment of recovery, whether that's for you or for them, and to talk about it in a firm but kind way. And of course, the last thing. One thing that I have always really thought was really effective is to give choices. You can either do this or you can do this. Like you can clean up the dishes now before you play or after we eat. Or let's say if there's tantrums about what to wear or if there's something, I mean, it's hard to know what age I'm talking to, but for example, there are consequences that can be within the child's control that makes them give just enough control that they feel like they have a say in the matter. So let's say a child isn't going to bed. You could say something like, it's time to go to bed. You can choose to put your head at the foot of the bed or the top of the bed. It's time to go to bed. Do you want to wear these pajamas or these pajamas? And maybe lay out what the structure looks like. Another idea that it worked really well, especially when my kids were younger, is to give them warnings, whether that was time of, 15 minutes before we go, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, giving them ideas of when that's happening. But to go back to the main question about feeling walked over, I think heart to hearts when your kids are not in a moment of reaction is the fairest and most appropriate time to communicate what boundaries are and what the consequences can be, and to even possibly invite them as a family to talk about what consequences could be for specific misbehaviors, whether that's having to be asked a third time or, et cetera, et cetera. I hope that helped. And if you want to listen to the last episode, we can go through that even more. Now, the last motherhood moment I wanted to share, we have Easter coming up just this next week. I had someone send in this message. Thought this would be appropriate for Easter and appreciated. Today we drove by a display of an empty tomb that had the message, "He is not here." My daughter pointed it out and said she wanted to go back and see Jesus's cave. Love these moments that open up important discussions. And I do too. Kids say the most beautiful things and remind us of what really matters with their sweet little voices. I think that it's an awesome opportunity to talk about the story of Easter and that you can have that bonding moment and something that she'll remember when there's something that you can look at. That's really neat. All right. Well, that is the end of this episode. I am giving you a reminder to please submit your motherhood moment. I think what I will do is if you do not want to be known, I'll make it so it's anonymous. But if you do want to be known, as a thank you, I want to start sending out some M&Ms to my friends with a Time for Us journal. Because as you know, I have the Time for Us journal, which is meant to give you and your child special time together to sit and journal together. It is available on Amazon. I have two volumes that I've written, and they're awesome Easter presents if you're still looking for something to give to your kids. 2-day Amazon shipping. And I'm going to put that in the notes below. So you can submit it anonymously. But if you want to be entered for that giveaway, just message me and say, "Hey, I was one of the entries," and I'll put you in that giveaway. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. Anytime that you subscribe or leave a review, that is extremely helpful to me here at Call Me CEO. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will see you next week.
Hey CEOs, thank you so much for spending your time with me. If you found this episode inspiring or helpful, please let me know in a comment and a 5-star review. You could have the chance of being a featured review on an upcoming episode. Continue the conversation on Instagram at Call Me CEO Podcast. And remember, you are the boss.